I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, my good friend and cohort, Rob Langevin. Rob, it's been a tough few days for me as a Pittsburgh sports fan. The Pirates lose Andrew McCutchen and Gerrit Cole. The Steelers lose in what may be the worst coached performance I've ever seen in the NFL by a quote-unquote favored team. But that's, you know what, that's rear view stuff, man.
Yeah, you know, it's been a tough cycle of a week for the Rust Belt. I think, you know, with Buffalo, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh all in turmoil right now in various sports. It's a bad time to be in the Rust Belt of the Americas. Basically, if nobody knows what the Rust Belt is, it's basically anything that follows, what is that, Lake Erie, and goes down to Pittsburgh through the basically on the other side of the Appalachian Mountains. Basically.
Yeah. It's been tough, but you know, we move on in life, and so we will move on in the show. How are you feeling though, Rob? Are you good, man? I feel like people don't ask people genuinely if they're doing all right.
Well, I'm good. You always talk, so you know he's know how I'm doing. But I mean, nobody ever listens to this podcast gives me a call or text me and be like, hey, how you doing? How you feeling? You need anything? You want some soup? Want some cracker? Nope, nobody ever says anything. But no,
what's
I'm doing
going
good.
On with that?
I'm doing
why don't,
good.
Week why don't 24 people is at home here. Contact you, do you think?
Because they don't have my number. They don't have my number, dude.
Oh, right.
I'm private. I'm a private citizen. You know?
Are you not in the phone book? Also, am I in a phone book somewhere? Do you have to sign up for that? Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm under Naven Johnson. If you haven't seen the movie The Jerk, my movie is Naven Johnson.
I have not, but I hope whoever's listening to this that gets it finds that very amusing. We will shift quickly into actual fantasy stuff. We spoke last week about Alexis probably going to City. Look, a week later, it's the opposite of that. Looks like he might be on his way to Manchester United. Where would you prefer he go for fantasy purposes?
Since I'm probably not going to own him anywhere, I don't own him in draft formats anywhere. I don't really care, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm just sick of the news of it. This whole January window thing is. Remember, was it last year with Dimitri Payet? We basically knew he was leaving, and then basically the next day he was gone.
Yep.
This whole Alexis Sanchez news is just dragging out everything. Now, you know, the speculation about this, the speculation about that. He's going to Arsenal. They're doing make weight. You know, Arsenal's preparing to do this. If this guy comes in, then Sanchez will leave. Blah, 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 blah. It's all a big speculative news storm is all it is. And every independent branch of news from across the pond, since we are in the States, is just broad basing it with a big wide, you know, roller of paint. And we're just basically waiting for something to happen. And everything is speculative. Listen, if he goes to City, there's more rotation risk there, I think, for everybody that's a fantasy asset there, including everybody who probably owns Sterling, De Bruyne. Basically kills Bernardo Silva, basically kills Jesus' value when he comes back. So from that standpoint, I probably don't want him to go to City. Going to United, he probably, you know, goes right into the squad, but then it squashes guys who are on the, you know, on the tertiary part of fantasy, the Martials, the Rashfords, maybe the new inform, the new Lundqvist, the Squidward of United, Jesse Lingard. But either way, he's still going to be Alexis Sanchez. He's still going to get his touches. He's still going to be a phenomenal player on the ball. His price in the official game is just abominable right now. You probably can't roster him because there's probably one thing that's still against him. Even if he does go to a new team, even if he stays at Arsenal as of tomorrow, he probably still isn't going to play in this weekend. And if he goes to another team, he's not going to play for that team either. So Alexis Sanchez right now is Like, you know when you make cookies and you don't have a cookie, like a something to pull the cookie sheet out with, and you try to use your hands?
It's just dumb.
It's just dumb. Don't do it. That's basically what he is right now. you just don't want to go anywhere near it. Just wait till it cools off, and then maybe, you know, figure out what's what and re-attack it that way. Like I said, he's a phenomenal player. His price is just abominable. You know, 11.8. He sits on 97 points currently for the year. Yeah, I mean, would I like to? I think he'd probably benefit more from going to a United team. But seeing him in a City squad where they score so many goals, and he'd probably have a part or a piece and a lot more. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't care, to be honest with you right now. I think he's overrated.
Interesting. I'm actually kind of on the other side of this. I'm not sure that people are aware that he's on track for both more shots on target and more chances created this season, despite the fact that he's way down in both goals and assists. So if that kind of comes back to the norm, he could be ready for a huge breakout. Also, if he wasn't, and he just stayed at his current pace, he would have 14 goals and 10 assists, which it would have been like top 10 last season in the game. So it's not like he's having a quote-unquote awful fantasy season. It's just, to your point, for price, that's a lot. It's hard to make a great case for owning him right now. I think
I mean when you look at his stats to date, he's played in 1,500 minutes. He's got 7 goals, 5 assists. Last year, he scored 264 points in 24 games started, 3,200 more minutes. He scored 24 and assisted on 11. So he's far, far below his pace there. He's basically on pace for what he did the season before that when he scored 13 and had 5 assists for point-wise. I'm not saying, you know, goals and assist-wise, but on 167 points. We're basically almost two-thirds of the way through the season, and he's sitting at just under 100 points. So another 70 points in 14, 15 game weeks, that's probably right about where he's going to be if he continues on the pace. So, I mean, people are expecting him to be what he was in 16, 17, and he's more on the pace of 15, 16. Yeah, it's crazy. So, I mean, yeah, he's a phenomenal player when he's on, but he just hasn't been on, and his price is just crazy to even think about bringing in and rostering.
Yeah, true. Of course, you mentioned a potential make weight in that deal that would, in theory, be McTerrion going back to Arsenal, which is the reports as we're hearing them now. Obviously, as you implied, everything's kind of up in the wind at the moment, but that's currently the prevailing sentiment, which he would probably replace Alexis directly in that Arsenal team. But if that does not go through, I've got a couple questions of who would take over that slot. It's going to be Danny Welbeck, who has started literally every match that Alexis hasn't. I wish it was more exciting than that, but it's not. And Welbeck was in loads of space against Bournemouth this weekend, but we know what he is. He's never going to be an A-list guy.
He's still Danny Welbeck.
Exactly. And so he would be potentially of interest, much like Ox is, as the guy getting the first crack at the Coutinho role for Liverpool. But, you know, that's who it'll be, probably, unless McTerrion is involved in the deal. So everybody's minds can be at rest over that. For you,
yes, sir.
If McTerrion did go the other way, any interest? Because the talent's there.
In Taga-based leagues, probably more so. I think that he'd be more involved in the Arsenal buildup and have different tools around him, different toys. I think that he's just gone stale with what United has on the pitch, and he can't refine what he was in the first couple game weeks that we saw actual brilliance from. Going to Arsenal, he'd have a little bit more, I can't say more speed, but more a different skill set of players around him rather than a Lukaku, a Martial, a Rashford, and maybe a Juan Mata. He'd have a Lacazette, a Ramsey, a Wilshere, Ozil, you know, those guys around him. So it's a completely different skill set that'll be around him. Like I said, in draft formats, absolutely, I'd probably be more of a buyer in it. In the official game, it'd probably have to be like a double game week or a couple teams blanking, and me taking a gamble on him to actually have an interest in him.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. And if he did go to Arsenal, we aren't entirely sure which position he'd play. Would he play centrally with Ozil moving to the left? Because obviously McTerrion is more comfortable on the right, but that's also where Ramsey could be deployed, which we talked a little bit about off air. It'll be interesting to see how they fit all those pieces together. But my belief is if this deal goes through and it is a swap deal, I believe that both Wenger and Mourinho will find a way for Mkhitaryan and Alexis to be in their regular starting 11 just based on talent level.
And the one good thing is that if this doesn't affect, if both players go each way and vice versa, neither team is affected for cup ties.
So. Correct, yeah, with Europa League and Champions League not necessarily conflicting with one another when it comes to eligibility. The other one is a news story that sounds like it would have been interesting 2 years ago, but it's worth mentioning anyway. Walcott had a medical today with Everton. They, of course, just got Bolasie back. And have loads of other attacking options, though you can question the quality of them. Does this even spike your needle a little bit?
No. I mean, it kills all the other interest in the way down the list fantasy options for Everton, you know, like maybe like the Lookmans or the Aaron Lennons.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to affect much playing time. I think he's going to come in and be like that eighth or ninth inning, like, to use a baseball reference, like a ninth inning guy that comes in and just runs his butt off and gives you the last couple effort, you know, because Walcott does have some skill and he does have some, you know, some proprietariness in the box. So he knows how to score a goal. And, you know, based on the names that Everton have as guys who have been in contention there, he's not Yannick Bolasie, I don't think, you know, skill wise, you know, he's better than Aaron Lennon. So from that standpoint, I think they're bolstering their bench options for game time.
Yeah, if you are playing in a draft league, the person I think this kills is Davy Klaassen, because he's somebody that could have taken another attacking slot that just continues to not be given that chance. He did get a chance early in the season. I'm not trying to say like he was never given one, but under Big Sam seems to not be involved and is immediately being quote-unquote, not positionally, but just the fact that another space is gone, being replaced by this potential addition. You have anything else you want to bring up before we move on?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned his name in passing before, but Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, goal and an assist against City this past week in maybe one of the best games that anybody's seen this year to date. His price, 5.6, and his spot to basically like a quasi-Coutinho role. Mm. Is he moving forward? Is he that third Liverpool factor now for you?
It depends on how you feel about Mane, but I'm perfectly fine with him being my fourth Liverpool option.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
Oh, you're saying in your team.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Right. Yeah,
because it's hard to fit Firmino, Salah. Everybody has Salah, so don't even count Salah. Salah is one. So basically, it's Firmino, Mane, and Oxlade-Chamberlain for two spots.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't hate it. It's 2 goals, 2 assists in his last 5 starts. It's something you don't hate. As I said, it looks like he is going to get first crack at that Coutinho role, which you mentioned as well. As kind of a punt guy, like if you were still on Gross or Richarlison, or if you're concerned that Alexis would mess with Lingard's starting if he does end up at United, then yeah, I could entirely see Chamberlain kind of being the downgrade there. My fear is that a lot of people started jumping back on the Liverpool defense bandwagon, who I will talk about later, which would make it difficult because people might already have three, considering – you know, Firmino's a price downgrade from a lot of the big name strikers that are struggling right now. But I would have no, if I only had two, I would have absolutely no problem bringing in Oxlade-Chamberlain, at least kind of on a trial basis here for the coming weeks, because they have a pretty cushy schedule here for the next 5 or so.
Yeah. I mean, at 5.6, it just screams out that he should be added because everybody's in love with the Liverpool attack. You know, with Swansea, Huddersfield, Spurs, Southampton, West Ham, Newcastle, and then Man United. They only have three. They have three home, three away in that time frame. We do know that Liverpool's splits are kind of wonky, but yeah, his price is the thing that jumps out to me here, Kev. Like, I'm getting that Liverpool are probably going to get returns. He may look into goals, look into assists more. But for 5.6 to have, you know, the second highest scoring team, basically a fantasy asset there, it just makes too much sense to me. Maybe it's one of those things that, you know, maybe I should bang my head against the wall and be like, you know what, all right, it doesn't make sense now because I'm concussed. But like at 5.6, like compared to having Firmino and Salah, now you have three interests in the Liverpool attack with that upcoming schedule. It seems like a no-brainer to me, but I mean there are cheekier options out there, but I mean you could probably do a lot worse than a 5.6 Ox like Chamberlain right now.
Yeah, super duper agree.
Yeah. So moving on to another team, we saw they did play today. They had a win in extra time. West Ham. We were recording later because Kevin was so adamantly in depth into this game. He was thumbs deep into it, we'll say. With the returns that West Ham is giving after their double game week, I don't know whether people got were they just got stuck to players because they were stuck with them for the double game week, just didn't transfer them out. Well, whatever, happenstance be, they lucked into Lanzini and Arnautovic, you know, basically getting 30 points between the two of them in the game week after the double game week. How long are we riding the Hammers here?
Ooh, I'm actually willing to ride them pretty hard, which sounds gross now. Arnautovic in particular. I mean, all of his
Are you gonna ride him all night long?
All night long.
Are you gonna ride him all night long?
Arnautovic, I'm super on right now, considering the fact that he has scored all the 6 goals in the last 10 matches since Moisey came in. And you know how, like, everybody loves Salah a whole lot? Arnautovic has matched him stat for stat pretty much since the last 5 weeks, where they both have 4 goals and 3 assists, which you very much have to like. Like, that's the category he's in right now. He's starting up front. That makes him OOP, which is like your most favorite thing in the whole world, and has 4 bottom 10 defenses in his next 5 matches. So I'm super on board with Arnautovic. Lanzini's a little weird because he's more a creator than a goal scorer, although his stats the last 2 years wouldn't really seem to imply that. They are a little bit more this season. But it's kind of like Mkhitaryan was at the start of the season. Like, you're buying for the assists, you're staying for the goals. Yeah, I'm a little iffier on Lanzini, who did play again today, by the way. Just tired legs-wise, like a chance that he wouldn't start at the weekend. But yeah, on Arnautovic, and in general, yeah, I'm willing to buy in on West Ham at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I like what they're doing. The next coming 4 games are pretty cupcake-ish if you're into cupcakes. Home to Bournemouth, home to Palace, at Brighton, home to Watford are their next 4. And that brings you up to the week 28, which is 28 on is basically when we start getting the blank game weeks, double game weeks, and the such. But up until that point, when they face Liverpool at Liverpool, I think that you have to ride them. You know, for 13.8 combined between the two of them, they're pretty phenomenal. Lanzini, like you said, is becoming more of the facilitator to Arnautovic's goal scoring, which is perfectly fine because you're getting them at a little bit of a discount. And based on what West Ham has done goal wise the last few games, They can score multiples here, Kevin. You know, they've gotten games where they had 4-3-3-3-1-2. You know, but so, I mean, there is the capability for West Ham to do explosive type things here. And their prices is enough to ride on. I didn't double up on them because I fell asleep like a dope, but I would have. And if I had the chance to do it, I'd probably go back and do it again or do it for the first time. But so, yeah, I mean, anybody who has West Ham and they're looking to transfer out and shift money around, I don't see any reason to. I think Arnautovic is somebody you could ride with right now. OOP guys make me moist like cake. So Arnautovic is a good guy right now.
Also, we had a West Ham guy on the Premier League show this week, and he mentioned that every West Ham striker is available for purchase right now. Chicharito, Carroll, and Diafra Sakho. So you'd assume there that means that Arnautovic not only short-term has that starting forward job, but is also being considered as a long-term option there.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, he's always played like he could play the forward spot. I just didn't think he always had the skill levels around him. I think West Ham is surrounding him now with players that are relatable to his style of play. Almost like, remember when they were playing in the Europas and he was basically playing like a false nine almost for Austria. And he was doing pretty well because he was bossing the game. You know, now that he has players around him with a skill, I think that his skill set of bossing and mixing in his actual skill is coming to the forefront. You want to talk about another essential right now? Everybody's Mohamed Salah. And I talked about this the other day to you, Paul Pogba. He's 8.0 currently in price, 2.1 less than Mohamed Salah. I think that Pogba gets kind of like overlooked here a little bit based on his ownership. He's only owned in like 14.3% of leagues right now. But Kevin, you know, he did miss 10 games. He's only played 13 games. He's sitting on 84 points. If you average that, he basically every time he plays them on the pitch in every game, he gets 7 points a game. Now, if you take those 10 games he missed, average out the 7 points. What's that? 70, correct? My math is bad. So 70 plus 84 is 154. Yep. Now, tell me where in all the players in the Premier League, the official game, where would Paul Pogba be if he played in every single game based on expected output of 154?
Top 5-ish?
He'd be second behind Mo Salah. So everyone who's thinking that, that United's attack isn't completely different with Paul Pogba, you're completely crazy. The stats are, the proof is in the stats. You're, if he played every single game this year, I'd probably say he'd have more than the expectancy of having 7 points a game based on what we've seen lately and from the beginning of the year when he basically was on fire. Hmm. If Mo Salah is a staple item here, how in God's good name is Paul Pogba not being owned for $2 million less and basically the second highest scoring player in all the official game universe based on point expectancy for the year, obviously, not because he's what he's done. But at his price, what United could do offensively, their schedule down the stretch, Paul Pogba should be an entry into the template team right now. I'm sorry. I know we're in week 24 and templates are kind of blasé to say, but Paul Pogba to me is the second most important forward midfielder moving forward right now.
Mm. Yeah, no, I like Pogba as an option, especially as I said with Lingard kind of becoming a question mark. If Alexis does come in, I think a good place to shift that United chip would be over to Paul Pogba, and you make a good point about the price differential between himself and Salah. I'm a little if you're on him right now, but we can talk about that later.
Oh, we're gonna have a discrepancy then.
That's called foreshadowing. We got any price changes of note?
Nah, I didn't do them.
Okay. Then we will take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Stars and Sits.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, and we are back. Now we're going to be talking about our starts and sits of the week. I, as tradition dictates, shall go first. My start is going to be unoriginal. It's going to be Bobby Firmino, or as you refer to him, Bobby Digital at 9.1. But his price and ownership have gone bonkers. He's gone up 0.4 in budget over the last 5 weeks, and his ownership has literally doubled in the last 10. Because everybody's, you know, bailing on Aguero and Morata and Lukaku and everybody else with a big name that's been a big flop. Of note, Firmino has more goals over the last 5 matches than anyone not named Harry Kane. And I know that the ownership is crazy, but at this point, this is a genuine question. Other than Harry Kane, which forward would you rather own right now than Firmino?
Aguero for Newcastle.
Okay. I've been wrong on Aguero versus Newcastle before.
Only because of the – I was just looking at stats that of the last 5 times he's played Newcastle, he has 9 goals and 3 assists.
Didn't he score 5 in 1 of those though?
Five in one game,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But, yeah, I see your point. But for me, I mean, Firmino at 9.1.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. It's Kane – if Kane is 1 – Firmino's 2, Aguero's 3. Mm-hmm. And you could argue
because of
2,
value,
3.
You're saying.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Right.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, Firmino, I have brought into my actual team. Again, we'll touch on that later. In midfield, we've already discussed him a little bit, but Arnautovic is obviously the obvious pick this week with his OOP stuff for you. Like you were commenting with Pogba versus Salah, as I mentioned, Arnautovic has done exactly the same thing as Salah over the last 5 weeks, 4 goals and 3 assists, and he's 2.6 cheaper. which is obviously very interesting. Also, I don't know if you remember this, Rob. I brought up Chris Brunt like 4 or 5 weeks ago as an option because he was starting to pop up on creativity charts. And it didn't really pan out at the time. But over the last five, he has 2 assists. He also has the most accurate crosses in the league and his top 5 in chances created. So, you know, I'm not saying, just kind of saying.
The only thing with Chris Brunt that I don't like is that he falls into that Pascal Gross category, whereas what's the goal expectancy and assist output for a team that doesn't score very often? Yes, his price is conducive for that, but how often can you rely on an assist from Chris Brunt, Pascal Gross, Aaron Moy? You know, basically he falls into that grouping. Yes, they're great as a, you know, your fourth or fifth midfielder that you don't have to rely on every week or as a differential, but – I mean, that's basically what you're recommending him for. You're not, you know, Chris Brunt is not your 1A midfielder.
Oh, obviously, no.
There's
just an, it's just an interesting.
Oh, it's totally. I love the shout then. I still love it. I think Chris Brunt is a phenomenal fantasy player. He's better in DFS formats, but.
True.
But,
very true. And we don't do a DFS show anymore.
I miss you, DFS.
If you do, as we go on, we remember. Yes. And then also, oh, this is a question I could ask at the beginning, but I included it in my midfield setup here, apparently. Mm-hmm. How many Tottenham midfielders are you comfortable owning, considering they have been tearing everything up of late, especially Heung-Min Son, who has now started the majority of the last 10 matches?
Based on prices of everyone else, I'd probably only roll with one.
Okay. Who would you take right now? Like not
Son. I'd pick Son.
Right?
I'd pick Son, yeah.
How do you not? Although Della is also starting to turn a corner himself. But yeah, Son has been incredible. Saw a really interesting article today talking about why are Tottenham fans the only ones talking about Heung-Min Son. Obviously he scored 20 goals in all competitions last season. He's already passed, I think, 15 this season. Mm-hmm. He's very, very good. And I don't know if anybody saw his absolute destruction of John Joe Kenny's soul with his roulette around him at the weekend. But do yourself a favor, look it up. And as you're saying, if you don't have a Tottenham midfielder and you're looking to bring one in, Son is starting just as much as everyone. And he's playing basically on the left side of Kane for the most part, very much playing as a forward. And has the license to roam that Dele Alli had last season. So definitely somebody worth looking at.
Just one thing on the Heung-Min Son. Just after this game against Southampton, they have United at home, true. Liverpool at away, Arsenal home. So the next three games are the time to question your ownership of more than one Spurs player not named Harry Kane.
So are you saying wait till the end of that to make a choice?
I would say – the funny thing is I've been looking at my team, and my team is just having a perpetual downfall. So if anybody's looking at this and they trust me for fantasy advice, I'm sorry. My team has just been bad. I've been trying to do an opposite strategy here to not own Harry Kane for as long as possible. And it was
– it's not going well.
It's the week 28 basically is what it was is the dropping off point, and then I have to buy back in. But it's after those three games. And then basically he cruises with only Chelsea, Man City as the hardest two games in the last 11 games to go. But yeah, after those three games, everything's fair game. 1 week of more of Spurs you could probably ride with, and then you could downshift to Paul Pogba if you want to.
Yeah. I think downgrading to Pogba is definitely something that people should be taking a look at. I did buy into Della before the double game week. Because I saw this kind of run coming. You know, just when you watch a team enough, you just kind of get a sense of when somebody's going to start really performing well. Agree that after this week it could get a little dicey, especially considering that Liverpool match is away, where Tottenham have tended to struggle, and Liverpool have been very good defensively and have now added Van Dijk to their defensive ranks. So very good point by you. Defensively, the teams that are going to be good this week are pretty chalky, to be honest. Chelsea, United, Liverpool, City, Tottenham are the obvious ones. I think Everton are kind of a sneaky option if anybody has any of them for some reason, like a Keane in there. Or if somebody listened to you on Ashley Williams like 10 weeks ago. I think they should all have decent runs this week. Rob, who are you thinking about starting and sitting this week?
On defense, I'm basically exactly the same way as you. Listen, this week's schedule is so top heavy versus bottom heavy, and then this is basically like one's playing 20, two is playing 19. It's almost that same kind of scenario.
Yeah.
Basically, defenses start Arsenal, Spurs, Liverpool, Man United, Man City, Chelsea. It's chalky. It's chalky as all chalky can get. Basically, if you see Burnley in the rankings, stop, and that's where you should stop owning and starting defenders. My midfielder, I'm going to talk about him again. It's Paul Pogba, owned in 14.3% of leagues. Price is 8.0. Listen, he's got 11 assists through 13 games. That's crazy goodness. He's ridiculously underowned because of I think he's a little underowned because of the Jesse Lingard popping up scoring goals thing, which is probably a reason why he's only owned in 14% of leagues. Listen, I like Paul Pogba. I know a lot of people probably own him. I don't know his ownership in the top 1,000, top 10,000, but it's probably more than 14% of those teams in that ranking own him. On a sneaky tip, I like Jordan Ibe this week at 4.8 if anybody wants somebody on the cheap tip. On forward, forwards are always the toughest spot to go non-chalk with, but I'm going to go with Jamie Vardy this week. His price is 8.5. He's owned in 15.2% of leagues. I'm going to give you a weird stat, Kevin, only because prices do fluctuate, so it's kind of hard to say that this is actually like a stat you can rely on. Mm-hmm. But points per million, Jamie Vardy has more points per million than Harry Kane.
Oh, snap. Also, Kane's like four more expensive?
Four million more expensive. But so Vardy's sitting on 99 points. Kane is sitting in the 140s. But on points per million return, Vardy is beating him slightly. And funny thing is, only 8 players have more goals than Jamie Vardy this year, and Jamie Vardy is the cheapest and the second cheapest and the least owned of all those players. So those are my starts. Some good facts there, Kev.
Yeah, I like those stats, man. You've been coming hard with them stats the past couple weeks. Yeah.
So on to sits. I'm going to start up top because this is more of an LOL thing, and I just talked about not owning him, and I'm just telling everybody not to own him and sit him. It's Harry Kane. Funny thing is, You can't really sit Kane. If you own him, he's going to play. He's playing Southampton at Southampton. But there is a caveat here because I did do some research. Four of the five Kane blanks have been on the road. Four of his five last blanks have been on the road. So keep that in mind as Harry Kane blanks this week.
But also keep in mind that he absolutely destroyed Southampton the last time they played.
Yeah, I know. My midfield sit is we talked about him in the beginning. If you own Alexis Sanchez, you're probably not listening to this podcast because you're moving on to fantasy baseball research already. He's probably not going to play for either team, whoever he's on this week. So don't own him. I know it's a stupid thing for me to even suggest him as a sit, but I'm doing it anyway. Alexis Sanchez, price, ownership, blah, no way. Sit. Remember what I said about starting everybody not – basically, start everybody, Arsenal, Spurs, Liverpool, Man City, United, Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Everybody not that I didn't just say, don't start them.
Yep. It's a harsh but not incorrect take.
That's my and if you want a cheap Kevin said he likes Leicester, right? As a sleepy or Everton as your
Everton,
sneaky.
Yeah.
I actually like Watford this week.
Ooh, that's a great shout considering they've been absolute trash for the last few weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mala Wagyu for the win.
That guy. Mala
Wagyu for the win.
Isn't that a kind of beef?
Wagyu beef. Probably. Makes sense. Google it.
Wagyu. Yeah. It's Google any it. Of four Japanese breeds of beef cattle, the most desired of which is genetically predisposed to intense marbling and to producing a high percentage of oleaginous unsaturated fat, as we all know.
You mean that Wagyu.
Right. Right.
Dude.
You knew, and he plays for Watford.
Totally. So there's a marbleized piece of beef playing for Watford.
Right, exactly.
What just happened?
I don't know. Okay, so on devices and away from whatever that just was, up front is going to be Alvaro Morata for my sit. The experiment's done for me. I would literally rather he score points off my team than have him on my team and not scoring. So yeah. I'm just done. I'm over it. I saw your point last week about chances still being there. Gave him that extra week. We off that. I lost 0.1 in the Firmino stakes. I basically did it the second the match was over to make sure that I didn't lose 0.2 because Firmino's price was rising again and Morata's price was going to drop again. But I was just like, I don't want to play this game anymore. And I don't want to. I'm off the roller coaster.
Morata has Charlie Browned me.
He has. He's with the ball every week. Totally get it, man.
He is Charlie Brown and Lucy holding the football.
Wait. In this analogy, you're Charlie Brown. He's Lucy, right?
whatever. Either way.
No, I'm just clarifying mentally.
I'm the fool. I'm on my butt. I spoke so fondly of him last week, trying to support my Blues and my striker, and he just completely donkeyed.
Here's a real question for you. How on earth are you considering loaning out Batshuayi with Murata playing the way he's playing?
I don't think, you know, the only rumor that I heard that where he was going to go was to Dortmund, but I think that's if Aubameyang leaves. So,
yeah, but Sevilla also apparently interested in Batshuayi.
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere, and I think that all has to link if Chelsea brings in, oh God, Andy Carroll. Everything's linked to something else in the transfer room right now. Everybody's linked to somebody else being linked.
Wait, did Carroll move to West Ham in the January window? Because if so, his last three moves would have happened in the January window, which would be hilarious.
Well, man bun travels well in the winter.
Apparently so. He can pull the hair down and it covers his neck for warmth. He can wear it like a cowl. And now a whole bunch of guys listening to the show can Google what a cowl is.
Or it's like an infinity scarf.
Kind of. It can also be used as a hood. Yeah, it's an interesting garment. My aunt actually makes them, and I would plug her company right now if I could remember the name. But in midfield, I'm going on the anti-Rob play. I'm off Pogba right now. I know. He has been fuego the last few weeks, no arguing. And he is very much past the eye test as well. That match on Monday, he was incredible. But statistically, he is outperforming his chances created. He's not in the top 10 in chances created over the last five matches. He had his second in assists. You pointed out that his assist rate is incredible. For me, it's almost too incredible. Not sure if he can keep that up. And he has Burnley, Tottenham, and Chelsea all in the next five. All of them, obviously, very, very strong defenses. And I don't really think his price is going to get much higher over that period. If he comes through that stretch, Burnley, Tottenham, Chelsea, with a couple goals and an assist or vice versa, I'm buying in as soon as that run's over. But right now, light touch for me on Paul Pogba.
I think if he gets a goal and an assist in those three games, I think that's enough return.
Okay. At 8.0, you think one goal and one assist out of a stretch of three games? Is enough?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I mean, it's not fantastic, but no. Look at what's the expectancy for Harry Kane then when he plays Arsenal, Liverpool, and United?
Okay.
That's 13.
Fair. Yeah. Obviously bigger names, but you know, similar difficulty.
Although they're similar.
Although Kane always scores against Arsenal, but fair point.
He does score against Chelsea once in a while.
He does. He loves a London derby, does one Sir Harold Kane, although it would have been helpful in that double game week against West Ham. In defense, you kind of pointed out the issue earlier, which is just it's a whole bunch of bad teams playing a whole bunch of good teams. I think West Ham could be sneaky against Bournemouth, but Bournemouth have started scoring goals again. Swansea are surprisingly decent defense. There could be a bit of a trap game element to this one.
Trap game with Liverpool?
Yeah. Just because coming off the high of beating City, like they might be looking at Swansea as just a W instead of a fixture they have to actually play.
Could be. I want to get Fetty Wap to sing a song for us called Trap Game.
Yeah, man. That would be nice. You don't need a second eye when your third eye is open, attributed to Fetty Wap.
He grew up in the town I grew up in.
Really?
Boom.
Where was I? Oh, right. Which side of Huddersfield Stoke are you more confident in? And, oh, well, right. Do you care at all that Lambert took over Stoke? Do you think that'll improve the defense?
Because
they have talent there.
Ricky Lambert? Because I know a good chant with Ricky Lambert. Paul Lambert, I don't know a good chance. But I'm more confident in Huddersfield.
Hmm. Okay.
On the road.
Interesting stuff. Oh, also, you and I were talking about transfers, and I somehow entirely missed that Huddersfield signed Terence Kongolo, who at one time was a super highly rated Dutch prospect. So interested to see a little bit more of him as well. Stoke obviously not looking very threatening, although Steven Ireland, out from the cold and off the couch, got a couple of chances against United. Although I did see somebody say, Ireland's got to score those two. And it was like, the last time he played a match was 2015. So less sure that he should have, quote-unquote, scored those, although admittedly they were good chances and a better player likely would have scored them. All right, that'll do it for starts and sits. On to my team. I made the double switch, Firmino and Arnautovic in for Morata and Richarlison. All of them were going to be changing prices. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to be super sure that I wasn't going to struggle for all of those. So I made sure to make that move nice and early. I was a little concerned about bringing in Arnautovic on Sunday just because I knew that they had that match midweek. But fortunately, he did not start that one. So no concern there. That's the move that I did, and I'm sticking with it. Your Kane stat actually gives me a little bit of pause about the fact that the C is still resting upon Sir Harold's head, considering how many other good matchups there are this week, like Salah versus Swansea, considering Swansea have not had a decent wing back since Angel Ronhel wasn't 36 or whatever freaking age he is. You don't mind Arnautovic versus Bournemouth, whose wing backs obviously love to get forward. Also, I think I'm playing a 4-4-2 this week, to be honest.
That's sassy.
One of the reasons I just have that like full rattled list of defenses worth playing is I have that. I have Kenny versus West Brom, Jones versus Burnley, Christensen versus Brighton, and Robertson versus Swansea. All of them playing bottom five defenses this week. Mm-hmm. I like those defensive matchups so much that Lingard is actually on my bench this week.
Wow.
Because I'd rather play Firmino against Swansea than Lingard against a very good Burnley defense. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I very, very much like all those defensive matchups, so I'm going with them. I have considered the cheekiest of captain options, which is Phil Jones versus Burnley. I don't think I'm going to do it. If it was Robertson versus Swansea at home, I may consider that as well because he has played very well lately. Don't like think that Liverpool conceding three goals to City is an indictment of their ability. But I was very impressed with what I saw from him, and he has made that job his own. Anyway, I was kind of rambling. I think the C might stay on Kane, but it very easily could switch to Salah last minute. And your comment on Kane struggles away would be a little bit of a factor there. Have you made any moves yet this week, and who are you putting that C on?
Yeah, I made two moves. One was to beat the price changes. I was in the same situation. I was a Morata owner, so I went from Morata to Aguero. Like I said before, I don't own Kane. Aguero currently has the C on him. I made a second move. It was a fifth midfielder. I brought in Jordan Ibe at 4.8, so he's now my fifth midfielder punt. But at 4.8, it's good value. He's starting to play well. Bournemouth really don't have much to play for because they're pretty much – I think they're safe, and they're probably not going to climb much higher than 10th. So they're probably just going to play what they have and see what they have out of Jordan Ibe for most of the year. So I think he sees a lot of minutes. So at 4.8, I really can't go wrong. Aguero is a great shout against Newcastle, given his history at home playing them. I still have Salah, Pogba, De Bruyne, Lingard through the middle, Aguero, Firmino up top. I have Otamendi, Jones, Alonso in the back with Masuaku as my fourth defender. I think I'm playing a 4-4-2 as well, Kevin. That's weird.
Ooh, squad.
Yeah, but and then I don't have a goalie of note, so I'm not even going to mention him because he's playing Liverpool. So that's my team. I have a lot of good guys that I could go with for captain. Salah is interesting against Swansea, but I think that's the chalk play.
Trap game.
Trap game. Kane is the secondary trap game. Aguero is the tertiary trap game because he's done well against Newcastle, but doesn't mean he's going to do it now. I don't know. Firmino trap game. Lingard is. I think Lingard scores this week. That's funny thing is, I think he's gonna put one in the net this week.
Sterling?
No Radio Raheem.
Oh, sad face
for me.
Fair enough.
It happens. But anybody of the top, the big six, I'm using quotation fingers, any of the big six that are playing this week and you own one of those players is probably a decent enough gamble. This is probably going to be one of the biggest striated percentages of captain weeks that we've probably seen.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty weird. All right, we'll wrap up this week like we did last week. Who's winning these NFL games, bro?
I got to go with... You know what? I hate the Patriots. I'm just going to say Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And Minnesota. Let's make it a boring Super Bowl.
I'm on board with that. The Steelers should have won, except they again had like the worst play calling I've ever seen in my entire life in every phase, including that horrible onside kick, including them not kicking the field goal with only like 40 seconds left. It was just super awful. The Patriots are going to win, but I also support the Jaguars and would hope that they would do it, and they can. I mean, the Jaguars on their day can beat any team in this league.
Yep.
It's just how frequently do those days come? Did they waste it all against the Steelers? Time will tell. agree with you on the Vikings. They just have that weird magic feeling. Mm-hmm. Like the Steelers did the the second Super Bowl, like the Saints had their year.
Yeah.
Like they just have that like.
Everybody in the Vikings seems like they're touched by Jesus. Yeah, everybody thanks Jesus first. I'm like, what is this? What happened to your moms?
Hi, Mom.
You wouldn't be here without Mom.
Yeah. Also, I'm just going to say a sentence. I just want to see how it strikes you. Case Keenum, Super Bowl champion.
I mean.
How's that feel? Well, considering he's going to leave next year.
we're gonna have Case Keenum or Nick Foles in the Super Bowl for the NFC. So just
That is pretty great. Could be Bortles. There is a chance that it could be Bortles versus one of those guys in the Super Bowl.
I wish the other starting quarterback was last name was James, because we'd have a Bortles and James Super Bowl.
I don't get that reference.
It's a wine cooler.
Oh, then I also hope that happens.
It's a wine cooler, man. Come on, Bortles and James. That's funny.
Pour up. Drink. Headshot. Drink.
Drink.
All right, that'll do it for us. Rob, tell the folks where they can get at you.
You find me on Twitter, FPL_MNOP. You can find my writing, stylings, and musings on Razzball.com. And go check it out if you're into fantasy baseball. My posts start dropping next week, so I'm going to be super busy and have no life, and it's basically attached to my keyboard.
Woo! I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. You can find me on Twitter, @Kevroff. You can find my writings over at Goal.com under the gaming tab. There could potentially be a new thing soon. Time will tell. I'll obviously let you guys know when it does. But again, for any news from us, you can find us at Kevroff and at FPL_MNOP for the show at EPL Roundtable. You can find us on iTunes under the name EPL Roundtable as well. Rob, pleasure as always. Best of luck to your team specifically. Best of luck to our listeners' teams, unless I'm in a mini league with you. And we'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.